Awesome. Thank you. Well, it's so good to be in Icon Church this morning. I've been traveling a little bit, but it's so good to be in Icon Church. And last week, I was able to speak through the miracle of technology to all our campuses. But today, I'm here in the flesh, the bitten flesh. But I'm here in the flesh. And also, we're joined by our Stocksbridge campus, some of our Sheffield campus in the room. And here, if you're new, if it's your first time in Icon Church, either in this room or in Stocksbridge, we want to give you a huge welcome. So come on, church. Let's do that. We'll take our seats. I've been speaking a lot, so I've got a big jug of water with me. I want to... Talk today about how to live by faith. And I'm just looking at the timer, they've not started it, so I'm great, I'm good to go. That means they're saying you've got as long as you want, Paul. So how to live by faith. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, the Apostle Paul says this: we live by faith, not by sight. Another version says we walk by faith, not by sight. How to live or walk by faith. Come on, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. And we thank you we get these moments around your word to hear your voice and to hear you speak to us. I pray you'll speak to each and every person, whether they're joining us online or in any of our rooms today. Speak to each and every one of us in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I don't know about you, I want to walk by faith, but I don't always walk by faith. That's why I thought it'd be good for us to ask the question, how do we walk by faith, or speak about that subject? Because sometimes I walk in worry. Sometimes I walk in anxiety. Sometimes I walk in fear. There's other times when I walk in stress. My kids will tell you that's not a pretty sight. Sometimes I walk in anger. Sometimes I walk in frustration. Sometimes I walk in doubt. You too, right? But I want to walk by faith. And all of those walking in fear, worry, anxiety, whatever it is, often are a result of me just looking, or us just looking at our circumstances and our situations, the natural world around us, our feelings, responding to our feelings. But even when we're in those spaces, we want to walk by faith. You know, someone said faith is a trust in God, a belief that he knows what he's doing. I can believe that, can't you? God knows what he's doing. Even if I don't know what he's doing, he knows what he's doing, regardless of the external circumstances. And then I've got a quote by a great pastor. His name's Paul Benger. And it says this: faith is living the culture of heaven in the midst of an opposing culture. You see, the Bible tells us that we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. I love these verses in Colossians 1, 13 to 14. I recently read them again. It says this: for he, Jesus, has rescued us from the dominion, or the kingdom of darkness, and he has brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And you know, this word rescue means to pull out. The picture is of a lifeguard who sees a person struggling or drowning or, you know, in fear for their life, and the lifeguard jumps in. Isn't that what Jesus did when he came to earth? The lifeguard jumps in. He doesn't just shout. He doesn't just throw a rope. He jumps in and he grabs him and he rescues him. That's the picture in these verses, that he pulls us out and he leads us to safety. And he leads us to a different place, a different land, where we can move from fear to faith, from worry maybe to worship, from anxiety to trust, from stress to a renewed mind, a mind at peace, from anger to peace, because we're citizens of a new kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. Paul says it again in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are kingdom citizens. You are a citizen of the kingdom of God, and we now get to live in a new kingdom. The old kingdom, unfortunately, sometimes still lives in us, doesn't it? But we're living in a new kingdom. We've got a new home. We got a new home, a new passport, a new language. We've got a new name. You know, the Old Testament says, no longer will you be called forsaken. But you've got a new name. We've got a new culture. I love traveling, and I've been traveling a lot. And tomorrow I fly to Germany for 4 days, and I'm going to be with some church planters in Germany. And I love seeing the subtle differences between different cultures. But you know, the greatest culture that lives is the kingdom of heaven. And that culture can live anywhere. That culture can thrive anywhere. And you can live in God's kingdom anywhere, even in the UK. Amen? Yeah. It's the culture of faith. So how do we walk by faith? Because the reality of life challenges us. The circumstances of life challenges us. And we want to walk in faith. And even today, you might be in this service. You might be catching up with this service. You might be connecting with this service. And even today, you might say, well, I'd love to walk by faith, but I'm actually walking in worry. I'm walking in fear. I'm walking in stress, in anger, in frustration. Maybe even walking in doubt. But I want to walk by faith. So I want to introduce something to you that's helped me in the years, because sometimes I'm in that place of worry. I'm in that place of stress or anger. And I want to step into the place of faith, of trusting God. And something that's helped me over the years, I shared it with our staff this week, is using faith as an acronym, and it's be on the screen and you'll be able to see it. But faith, F, focus on the positive. A, affirm yourself. I, imagine God doing something good in your situation. T, trust God in all things. And H, hope for the best. I learned this through listening to a message by a pastor called Kevin Gerald, and I'm going to quote him again a little bit later. Some years ago, and I've kept this thought in my head and I've remembered it. And so sometimes when I'm in that space where I'm just overwhelmed with doubt or worry or fear or anxiety, I focus on the positive. Affirm yourself, I'm called. God's with me, God's for me. Imagine God doing something good in your life. Trust God with everything, give it to Him. Hope for the best. So I'd like to talk about these five things this morning. How does that sound? Good. Number one, focus on the positive. Have you noticed there's always good and bad happening? Yeah. Usually at the same time. There can be great things going on and there can be challenges going on. And we find ourselves often focused on the challenges or focused on the mountains. And when we do that, we find ourselves maybe walking in fear or walking in doubt, walking in worry. And so this first step, focus on the positive. You know, if I say to you this morning, now don't think about the yellow monkey, what image has just entered your head? How many people saw that yellow monkey? That's the image. You see, so often we say we want to walk by faith, but our focus is completely on the mountain or the difficulty or the circumstance. The yellow monkey, as a metaphor, we're completely focused on that. I want to walk by faith. I want to walk by faith. But we're focused on the challenge. And so often we tell ourselves, don't worry, Paul. Don't be negative. But we stay focused on the challenge. We stay focused on the problem, on the mountains. Do you know the first step of getting into the faith zone, of walking by faith, is focus on the positive. Yeah. Positive actually is one of our values here at Icon Church. We, some years ago, did a survey and with about 30 people, I guess, from our church. And we said, what do other people say about Icon Church? And we came up with a whole load of things and we put them into different, we merged them together, put them in different columns. And one of the columns came that Icon Church is positive. That we are faith-filled, believing, and speaking the best. Do you know that was true of Icon Church then, and it's true of Icon Church today. We are faith-filled, believing, and speaking the best. You know, you might be facing today a mountain, a challenge, a situation. But I want to tell you, God has removed those mountains before. You can focus on the fact that God has done it before. Maybe you're facing something and you've seen God deliver somebody else. God has done it to somebody before. He's done it before. He's maybe done it before in your life, but he's done it somewhere else. You can focus on that. You can focus on the good things in the midst of the challenging things. Even if all seems lost, we can remember today that God is good and he does good. I want to give you a lesson. Yeah, come on. Praise him. I want to give you the ultimate lesson in theology. God is good, devil bad. All right? I know some of you say, Lord, like, Paul, what, like, yeah. No, listen, God is good, devil bad. God is good. Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21 says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power at work within us, to him be glory in the church. Somebody was praying today for a job. God's done it before. God will do it again. Somebody praying for a breakthrough in some area of your life. God's done it before. God will do it again. Somebody today, you're asking God for healing. He's done it before. He can do it again. He's able to do more than we ask or imagine according to his power at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout generations. Focus on the goodness of God. About 20 years ago, our church went through a really difficult time, actually. It was touch and go. And we wondered at times, would we survive? Would we get through it? And someone said this, actually. They said it. I was so shocked, I wrote it down. This church will never grow. Paul and Jeannie have a vision, but it will never happen. But Jeannie and I stayed focused on the positive. We had a vision from God and we kept believing, kept going. We saw what God could do. We'd seen it in other places and we said, if God could do it there, he can do it here. We stayed focused. We kept talking about it. Come on, yeah, praise him. Talking about it, praying for it, believing. Now we lead a church we dreamed of back then. Sometimes I pinch myself in worship services. We dreamed that church could be like this. Now, don't think we've arrived because we're still dreaming. Yeah. Keep dreaming, amen. Because, you know, the Bible says your old men will dream dreams. Steady. I'm allowed to say that. You're not. Keep dreaming. The best is yet to come. Come on, the best is yet to come, Stocksbridge. The best isn't behind us. The best's in front of us. Focus on the positive. It's the first thing. The second thing, affirm yourself. Now, this is tricky, and I need to do a couple of minutes just to set the scene here. Is that okay? Yeah. I'm not saying affirm your sin. No. I'm not saying affirm your wrongdoing. God loves me. I can do whatever I want. No, no, no. I'm not saying we can affirm our bad attitudes. I'm not saying affirm yourself because whatever, you're always right. If you feel it, that's your truth. That's your... No, I'm not saying affirm yourself in that way. I'm not saying affirm your bad thoughts. I'm not saying affirm your thinking that doesn't line up with God's word. Please don't do that. I'm not saying affirm everything you believe, everything just because the world believes it. Don't just affirm that. But I'm saying this, affirm who you are in Christ. Affirm the fact that you are a child of God, a son, a daughter. Affirm who you are in Christ. And the Bible teaches us that you are saved and you are called. And I am saved and I am called. Saved, rescued. I gave you that illustration earlier, didn't I? Rescued from the kingdom of darkness and pulled out of that kingdom and brought into the kingdom of his son. Rescued from the old country, the old way of thinking, the world's way of thinking. Rescued. But not just rescued, pulled out of danger, called. Given a hope, given a purpose, given a ministry, given gifts and talents. I'm so thrilled that after the message last week, a few people went to campus pastors and said, I want to serve. We want to serve. We want to give our lives to service. 2 Timothy 1 verse 9, Paul writing to a young pastor says this, he has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. That grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Paul says to Timothy, he's called us to a holy life. Holy just means set apart. It means set apart for God. He's called us to a special life. You know, you can live in a small place and live a big life. You can come from a place called Shirebrook and travel the world and preach the gospel. Because the place doesn't define you, the calling of God defines you. God sets us apart for his purpose. And he does it because of his grace. It would be so easy to think, you know, look at what I've achieved or look at what I've done. No, it's God's grace on your life. I love some of the, I won't get too much into football. I'll leave that to Nathan because he's the expert. And if you don't know, he played with Jamie Vardy, but... But there was a footballer this week who made his debut for England, first time. And I just saw on his Instagram, and he just, all God's mercy, all God's glory. He could say, look, what a talented guy I am. Look how hard I've worked. But he deflected praise and gave glory to God. I love that. Not because of anything we did, but because of his grace. And that grace has been given in Jesus, Paul says, before the beginning of time. So God didn't wait to look how you'd turn out. Even before you were born, even before he put the stars into the space, he thought there would be this baby called Gavin Lloyd. And before the beginning of time, he called him. He called him, gave him a purpose, gave him a purpose. And God did that for you. Look at these three verses. Romans 8:17. Now if we are children, then we are heirs. These are the things we're affirming. Heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share his sufferings in order we may share his glory. Romans 8:37 to 39. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor the present, nor future, nor powers, or height, or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Focus on the positive. Affirm who you are in Christ. Can you see you can be in the midst of a doubtful season, a fearful season, but you begin to focus on the goodness of God. You begin to affirm that you're saved and that you're called and that you're forgiven. Already your heart and your atmosphere is changing, don't you think? Number three, imagine God doing something good. I want to read from the guy I quoted earlier, Kevin Gerald. Just a few verses, just a few sentences, if I may. In 1986, he says, I became the pastor of a church that had a mountain of debt, a seemingly insurmountable list of bills that had been accumulated before we arrived. The church wasn't very big, and I didn't know what else to do but to ask the small group of people to bring their best one-time offering. Our small church came together and the people gave the very best they could, and we raised a grand total of $7,500 on one Sunday. It was very small beginnings, but it was our best, and we celebrated. In that moment, however, our annual liberty offering was born. None of us could have known it at the time, but that first offering was the beginning of a turnaround for our entire church. the beginning of an amazing journey and a legacy of generous giving. At this current moment, we have brought in more than $7 million through our annual Liberty offerings over the last 25 years. This offering has helped our ministry move forward by maintaining God's house in many ways, such as building ministry facilities for children and youth, paying for chairs, paving parking lots, updating technology to communicate our message better, and so much more. The reality is God's house is more than a facility that is built or maintained. People's lives are changed in these buildings. Homes are healed. A passion for life is renewed in hearts in his house. And we're also able to give more to missions and disaster recovery and to support outreach initiatives both locally each year through this offering. A few years ago, we had our theme for the year, See What God Can Do Through You. And we came up with similar idea that when we do our best, then God does the rest. That's a nice phrase, isn't it? I've just thought of that. When we do our best, God does the rest. You know, next week's our vision offering. And this year we said we wanted to launch a course called Keys to Freedom. That started last Monday with a number of people, good number of people doing that. We wanted to host a prayer school in August, and that's being planned right now. Stocksbridge, you saw it on church news. We want to open up that foyer, make it a bigger space, install a new toilet in that space. We want to re-something the auditorium. Let's call it revamp. I don't know. I can't think of the word. We want to remodel the auditorium so that we can welcome more people. We talked about as a church, we want to raise more and more leaders. Leaders of tens, leaders of 50s, leaders of hundreds, leaders of thousands. And we want to do that so that Icon is a place where you cannot get lost and a place where you cannot hide, where somebody knows you and somebody knows how you're doing. You know, there's a loneliness pandemic in our world. But the Bible says that God puts lonely in families. I think there's a loneliness pandemic. Let's defeat it. Let's defeat it. You know, so often we walk in doubt or fear or anxiety because we're listening to our inner voice. And what I love about coming to church is even when my inner voice is talking, oh, Paul, you're a loser. The person speaking God's word never tells me I'm a loser. They tell me I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who loves me. And even now in this moment, I'm silencing your inner voice as I'm speaking God's word over your life. I love that. I'm talking to you. As I'm talking to you, your inner voice is quietened. And so when your inner voice says you're a loser, your pastor will tell you you're chosen, you're loved, you're called by God. When your inner voice says, I'm full of fear, your connect group will say you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. I believe so much in the power of community. It's God's idea. The psalmist says, as I've said, God puts the lonely in families. A few years ago, Malcolm Gladwell wrote a book called Outliers. It's a fascinating book. And he studied a community of Italian immigrants in the northeast of America. And they had a remarkably low incidence of heart disease. So when you see that kind of anomaly, you kind of check out, why would that be? What we're curious about, why would they be different? He looked at all the usual suspects, exercise, diet, food, wine, lifestyle. But he found that they lived very much like anyone else in the United States. However, the rest of the America had high rates of heart disease. And these people simply didn't. What was Gladwell's conclusion? Community, community, community. The connections that these immigrants had with each other and the commitments to each other literally saved their lives. That's why God puts lonelies in his family, in his house. We also said through our vision offering that we wanted to create an emergency fund to help people in a cost of living crisis and a rising inflation with any desperate financial needs, and we want to do that through the offering that we're going to take next week. We wanted to have enough resources for ministry across all our campuses. And, you know, next week you'll get a booklet, Vision Offering 23. It'll mention some of those things in. And you know, I just want this week you to prayerfully, if you're in any Icon Church campus, prayerfully consider what you might do, because when we bring our best, God will do the rest. Two Fridays ago, 15 young people gave their lives to Jesus in this building in Chesterfield. Now, that's more exciting than you're responding. 15 young people made decisions. Okay. Now, what's the title of my point right now? Imagine God doing something good. Imagine those 15 young people following Jesus, living good lives, maybe becoming leaders in God's house, raising strong, healthy families. Imagine them being men and women of honor, people who keep their word, people you can trust. Imagine that. And you know why we can imagine it? Because God's done it before. I can look around this room and just think about leaders. Mark and Nicola Wilkins are here. Mark became a Christian at 8 years of age when our church had just started. In fact, his mum and dad's here. Pat and John, stand up. Come on, Pat and John. Stay standing. John's clapping himself. Stay standing, John. Stay standing. I'm not finished with you yet. Nathan was the first member in this church. He had no choice. He was a baby in our house. These have been with us from day one. They joined our church the week before we went public ministry, and I honor you. You're still here 36 years later, and unless it's the lights, you look better than you ever have. Come on, let's give it up. Stocksbridge, sorry I can't see you, but I'd love to do the same for you. Let's imagine God doing it again. Mark, I'd mention Mark and Nicola, that's where I got off on one, didn't I? Some incredible leaders. Ben and Hannah Lloyd. Nothing to do with a tattoo. And so many. I'll not try and do it. God can do it again. Who's next? Who's next? Who's next? It's you. It could be you. What about your life? I'm talking a little bit here about the church. It's so important imagining God doing something good in our lives. I'm imagining our church just bringing our best, as we've done so many times again in our vision offering. I'm imagining our church having a passion for the kingdom of God, wanting to see people saved, a heart for God to move. I'm imagining God raising up vision builders who just want to keep the vision moving forward, just want to help us meet all our needs, rising costs and all the things that we're facing together. I'm imagining God raising people up in his house. Focus on the positive. Affirm yourself in Christ. Imagine God doing something good. Two more. Number four, trust God in everything. Yeah. Isaiah 26 and verse 3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you." This time you've just got to trust God. You've just got to take it and just, it's yours. I trust you with it. I trust you. I trust that you are good. I know that you are good. I know that you're for me. I know that you're with me. Everything tells me something different, but I trust who you say you are. Proverbs 28:25 says, "He who trusts the Lord will prosper. He will prosper. He will come out of difficult situations with freedom. He'll come out of containment with liberty and life and joy. He will prosper." And I want to encourage you today to give God everything. Yeah. Give him your life fully. Yeah. If you've not been baptized, baptisms are coming up. I know there's a few people signed up in Stocksbridge, which is awesome. four baptisms, and they're going to do that in their service in Stocksbridge, in their building. But you know, if you have not yet been baptized, it's a declaration that I'm just giving my life to God. Here's my life. Boom. It's yours. And I rise up to live a new life for you. Trust God in everything. And the band are coming back. And the final thing is hope for the best. Well, haven't you said that already when you've said, imagine God doing something good? I want to say that hope and imagination are different. Hope is a confident expectation. Imagination is your imagination, what you dream, what you see, the outcome, what you're believing for, your imagination. But hope is when you expect it. You're confident it's going to happen. And so you begin in hope to prepare for it. Imagine a couple who are about to have their first baby, and they're told, you know, 12 weeks and baby's coming. Don't know yet whether it's a boy or a girl. But they start to have this hope that in a few weeks' time, this baby is going to be in their household. And they start to change things. They start to buy things. They call their parents up and say, you need to invest in your grandchildren. And do that. They start to plan where the nursery is going to be in the household. And then when they know if it's a boy or a girl, they choose the color scheme and they go for it. They start to buy furniture, push chairs. They rope others in to help, mothers, fathers, aunts, uncles, friends, grandparents. And they bring people, and everybody's excited because everybody has this hope. Especially grandparents. Everybody has this hope. But it's more than an imagination. It's an expectation. It's an expectation. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. Focus on the positive. Affirm yourself in Christ. Imagine God doing something good. Trust God in everything and hope for the best. People say believe for the best, but prepare for the worst. And I understand that. You've got to be ready if your imagination, if your dreams don't happen the way you thought they would. You've got to think, how will I respond? How will I react? There's a reaction if I get the breakthrough. There's a reaction if I don't get the breakthrough. I understand that. But even if things don't work out or turn out the way I've planned, I've still got to have a good attitude. I still need to stay positive. God is still good and He's still in control. I've still got to move forward even in difficult situations. So why not believe for the best? And prepare for the best. Bishop T.D. Jakes would say, get ready, get ready, get ready. Remember the story a few years ago of the Chilean miners? 33 men buried underground for 69 days. Just let that sink in. 33 men buried underground for 69 days. Two and a bit months. Buried underground. To keep their spirits up, they had to do all kinds of things. They played games, they did all kinds of things. But the guy who led them had them do something every day. He says, we're going to do escape scenarios. We're going to be ready for when that light breaks through and somebody has found us, we're going to know what to do. And so they would prepare themselves for 69 days for escape scenarios. They were believing for the best, somebody finding them, but they also were preparing for the best. When we hear that drill burrowing down to us, we're going to know what to do. We're going to know what to do because we're believing for the best, but we're also preparing for the best. When we see that rubble cleared above our heads, we are going to know what to do because we're believing for the best and we're preparing for the best. So many churches today, so many Christians, I think, well, if God moves, if revival comes, I'll prepare, I'll get ready. But you know, the Bible tells us that God asks us to be ready. There's a story Jesus told in the New Testament of, it's called the parable of the virgins, where five of them were prepared for the bridegroom. And they went off and enjoyed the celebration, the wedding. But five were, well, maybe he will, maybe he won't. And they were unprepared and they missed the wedding altogether. I want in your life, in my life, for us to be ready for all that God wants to do. I'm excited about the future. I genuinely believe it's not just me trying to stir up your enthusiasm. I genuinely believe our best days are ahead of us. So come on, let's stand together as we pray. We close our service. I'm going to give you, again, put that graphic up on the screen on the acronym. I'm going to give you the letter. I'm going to be a cantor right now. Do you know what a cantor is? I say the first thing, you say the second thing. So I'm going to give you the letter. You're going to shout the meaning. Are you ready? Two of us. Are you ready in Stocksbridge? Are you ready online? F. A. I. T. H. And I want to encourage you, write this down, take it, and when you find yourself walking in worry, because you will, walking in anxiety, walking in fear, you'll find yourself there. Get this out and say, I remember, I can focus on the positive. I can affirm that I'm called and I'm saved and God loves me and God is for me. I can imagine God doing good things in my situation. I can trust God with everything and I can hope for the best in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen.